Hello, welcome back to Introduction to Information Systems. Believe it or not, you are already in week 9, where we're going to be talking about business processes and wrapping up those components. First, let's go ahead and get started in prayer, shall we? So, dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless and look over every student this week as they're studying. They have been called to have an open mind and an open heart and learn new information. We know, Lord, that they still have commitments at home. We know they have commitments at work. And we ask that you just help them manage everything as they're trying to follow the path that you're leading and just trying to get better always. So we appreciate this time we have together and this opportunity to learn. So in your heavenly name we pray, amen. I would love to jump in to the last visual that you're going to see here. And there it is, about our components. This should look really familiar by now. And if there's anything you take away from this course, I would certainly hope that it is that information systems has 5 components. And that says software, it should say process up at the top. That process is one of those 5 components. The first 3 are under that technology umbrella, and then people and process round out the list. We're going to wrap it up with process today. And as we talk about business processes, we're going to be talking about these learning objectives here. By the end of this module or this week, hopefully you'll be able to kind of define the term of what is a business process and identify the different systems needed to support business processes within an organization. We're going to be able to explain the value of an enterprise resource planning system, the ERP that we've been kind of alluding to and talking around this whole course. We're really going to bring it home in this module about how an ERP affects every aspect of your organization and what you can do to make sure that it is prepared and strengthened and will have a lasting impact. We're going to explain how business process management and business process re-engineering work. And then we're going to understand how information technology combined with business processes, here, let me move my picture there, can bring an organization a competitive advantage. And we've already really covered competitive advantage on what it is, how you get it, how you keep it, and then how information systems can really build into that. So now we're going to talk about how business processes can bring into that. As I mentioned, I have a fondness for business processes. I am a Lean Six Sigma black belt looking at business processes and how we can organize and re-engineer. So as we're talking about these, sometimes we're going to be talking about the re-engineering where we're not starting from scratch. Other times we're going to be talking about brand new processes. Each one of those has a very specific set of steps that you take, which brings us to this whole module on processes. So here we go. What is a business process? And here we go. Hello. Business process is a series of tasks that are completed in order to accomplish a goal. So sometimes you can, and this is where we see some organizations kind of stumble or fall, is that they might be completing all the tasks, but they're not completed in a specific order. So, for instance, maybe there's not a quality control that's in place at the right time. So even if you're doing all the right things, you need to make sure you're doing them at the right time in the right order to be a successful business process. Also, we're going to be focusing on achieving a goal. So we're not just doing a task to check them off. Usually it's part of a strategic plan, part of, we're trying to achieve goals by accomplishing these processes. It's going to be something that businesses go through every single day in order to accomplish their mission. It's not a project that's start and finish. It's a process that's ongoing every day that the business is doing. The better that the process is, the more effective the business is going to be. And you'll find that even in your own homes, some of these concepts are going to transfer right over to the way that you manage your families and your finances and your travel and the way you get your tasks done at home, the better that your process is, the more effective you're going to be and the more efficiencies you're going to gain. It's very important we have here to document a process. So in your textbook, listed this example so you can follow along with me if you'd like to. The easiest way that you can document a process is simply just to create a list. So if you were going to create an account on eBay, documenting that process would look something like this. Number one, go to ebay.com. Number two, click on register. Enter your contact information. Choose an ID and password. I hope it will be a good password like we talked about a couple modules ago. And then you agree to the user agreement and privacy policy. And you click on submit. And there you go. You have documented that process of creating an account on eBay and you're getting ready to buy and trade. Another way, a list isn't good enough for some processes. So below is an example from your textbook of a process diagram to see, should I add something to Wikipedia? I am personally not a Wikipedia author. I have never created a Wikipedia article or amended any article, but this would be a good process chart diagram to determine if it would be appropriate or not. So this is another way to document a process of using a visual like this. So we're searching Wikipedia. Can you find what you're looking for? Yep. Okay, think of a different term then. But no, if you cannot find that term on Wikipedia, it's going to ask you, are there related terms? So if there is a related term, yes, then you create an entry and redirect to that entry to redirect the related term to your term. If there's not a related term, then you would create a new article on Wikipedia and then start the process over. Think of another term, search Wikipedia for it, if that's your thing. If you're on the web 2.0 like we talked about, so you want to leave your digital footprint, this would be something that you would certainly want to do. But this, we're more so looking at the process on how it's documented by this flow chart of decisions, one leading to another. This is called a process diagram, which is just another way to document your process. We're also going to talk about, let me move my picture again. Managing business process documentation. So that's a lot to manage. There's a lot of documentation that happens, especially if you're an organization that has a lot of employees and members of the team that are all doing these documentations. So the requirement to manage process documentation has been one of the driving forces behind the creation of a document management system. And it stores and tracks documents and supports a couple different functions. So what we see here, it's going to have different versions and timestamps. If you have ever been in an organization that has a version control issue, you'll know that can be really frustrating when people are looking at different versions of a document or a file. So this document management system is really going to help to document those processes and make sure that versioning and timestamping is working for your organization and running smoothly. It's also going to manage those approvals and workflows. So this is a cover your rear end document. So as things change, if you're managing a project and you need to change the scope, you need to change the budget or the timeline, having these processes documented where the approvals are on file and the workflows are on file helps everyone just be accountable for decisions that are made, and there's not questions later on why decisions were made. It's all going to be documented in a place that is transparent to the organization. Lastly, it's really going to have good communication that comes about. So we know that a document management system will notify the appropriate people if approval's needed, if it was through the workflow. If these things are happening that need attention from personnel, it's going to automatically trigger that communication to take place. So these are definitely some benefits of managing that business process documentation. If this is something your organization is not yet doing, I would highly recommend you make that suggestion and you make this happen for the betterment of everyone and just making sure that all your bases are covered. We are next going to talk about that ERP. And of course, if you remembered, Our ERP, Enterprise Resource Planning System, is a software application with a centralized database that can be used to run an entire company. So if we look at the, where are you? I'm going to move over here. If we look at the graphic here, the centralized database, all of these things are going to go through that database in the ERP. All the business intelligence for good decision making, all the financials, the sales, accounting, purchasing, engineering, all the human resources, the planning, the resource planning are all going to be part of that centralized database under that ERP umbrella. So here's some ERP systems. All data in an ERP system is stored in that single central database that we were talking about. Data entered in one part of the company can be immediately available to other parts of the company. Again, we're working on breaking down some of those silos of people working simultaneously on things that are really unnecessary, and maybe they don't have all the information. So this ERP system is going to give you a window of transparency into the organization and let things happen in a more efficient way. It's going to be used to manage the entire organization's operations and have a good purchasing model that represents different functions. Some companies choose to purchase many modules as part of the ERP. Others choose a subset of the modules. And what I mean by that is it's usually a pretty robust suite of modules that are available to your organization. Now, if you are an organization like Amazon or Walmart, that might be perfectly appropriate for you. Actually, they would need something pretty custom. If you're a very large organization, that would be perfect for you. If you are right on that borderline of needing a central database of an ERP system, you might not need all of those modules. You might not be doing global trade, for instance. So it might be better for your company to choose a subset of those modules. And here we're going to talk about those modules. We go. So when an ERP vendor designs a module, it has to implement the rule for the associated business process. So the rules can be either dictated by that company, or it can be a work in tandem if it's something a little more custom. The rules reflect the best practice for that process within the industry. Typically, it's going to be something for the whole industry as a whole and not for your in particular organization unless, again, you go a custom route. So, for instance, an ERP for a food service industry would all look pretty similar. The ERP for a commercial tourism industry is all going to be pretty similar. But the implementation of an ERP system is an excellent opportunity to improve business practices by, sharing some of those best practices among others in the same industry. But it's not all perfect, of course, implementing an ERP. We're going to also talk about some challenges, I think, next. Yep. So here's some questions I'm just going to throw out to you. And then, do you think the process embedded in an ERP is really better than the process that they're currently utilizing? So is it going to be worth it and otherwise? Can a company differentiate from its competitors if they're using the same ERP? And we're going to come back to that one in just a second. Like we said, they're going to be using the same software with the same modules. So is differentiation really possible? And then can an ERP be customized to match a given organization's processes? And then we already said yes, but that has some challenges as well. So this has been one of the biggest criticisms, I'd say, of an ERP system is that they do kind of make the business process into a commodity and driving all businesses are really using kind of that same template. And so you lose what makes you really unique. You lose that unique factor. But the good news is ERP systems also have that capability of being configured with custom processes, like that final question. But if you do something custom, keep in mind, you're going to have to upkeep that ERP module on your own. It's not going to be inherently built into the system with automatic updates like some of the other templated designs. If you do decide to have a custom ERP module made, it's going to have, you know, it's going to be necessary for you to provide that manpower to upkeep. So something to think about. Let's talk about some different ERP vendors. The most common, the best known ERP vendors are SAP. I would assume that you have seen this name thrown around quite a bit. I'm sorry, there was a very large wasp, so if I need to just swat that wasp away. Microsoft has definitely a pretty robust ERP product. Oracle, known as PeopleSoft, is their ERP vendor. I've worked in a couple organizations that were just implementing PeopleSoft. It's kind of mixed reviews in terms of how fast they were able to transfer everything over into that ERP. So these are some lists of the best known. Certainly there are others, and certainly there are custom solutions that are ERP vendors. So we're going to look at the organizational value of an ERP. And those vendors combine the ERP modules, again, to offer applications with the highest impact. So the most important modules, and this is in my opinion, but in going through a lot of my work history involves going into small businesses, digging through their files and digging through their business plans and being able to make suggestions for process improvement and organizational improvement in general. And those using an ERP, I would say the most important modules are the CRM and the SCM. And we're going to talk about that right now. That CRM is that customer relationship management. And that is a CRM you might have heard of. Salesforce is one. HubSpot is one. There's quite a few that help you manage relationships with the different clients that you have or customers that you have. Also, it helps you manage relationships with your internal people. It's a kind of a way to communicate, but more importantly, to manage those customer relationships. Also, the SCM system is this supply chain management system, which has been very forefront in people's minds over the last couple of years in light of the pandemic, with supply chain being, you know, so high profile, of some challenges that have come to surface that we really hadn't seen before in supply chain, and how we get things from one place to another at the right time, in the right location, exactly when we need them, just in time. A lot of those challenges have been put into place where an organization using an ERP SCM module might not have some of those challenges to the same degree that you're seeing others have. Okay, so CRM systems allow for managing a company's interaction with customers, like we talked about. And you might be familiar with some CRMs that you are already communicating with. So every time your car dealer sends you a letter in the mail and lets you know, hey, it's time for you to get an oil change, your car needs serviced, that's part of their CRM software. It's automatically triggering an event. It's helping keep that relationship alive. It's having a touch point with you. Netflix recommending which movies you should watch next. Expedia sending you offers for cities that you might have been Googling in another browser, or places that you've been recently, that GPS would report back. Those would be, I owned a small business for 10 years, and we used Salesforce as our CRM. And I would input my client's birthday. So if it was a very important client, we would automatically, it would be triggered to send them a birthday card on their birthday, of just another way to have, or their wedding anniversary. It was actually an event coordination company. So if we were planning their wedding, we would make sure to send them an anniversary card every year, just as a way to stay in touch, to stay on their mind, to stay as, you know, build that loyalty with your brand. So CRM is very, very good at doing that. This YouTube link right here will be actually in the supplemental videos for you to watch as an excellent example of an ERP module containing a CRM. Advantages of using that CRM module as part of your ERP: it allows you to track goals and metrics for sales, customer services, increase retention, just kind of build those personal relationships that keep customers happy with you. You'll know who are your customers, what's important to them, and be able to answer those knowledgeably, which ultimately will lead to increased profitability and opportunity management as well. Okay. So I think we've covered this pretty well, I think, with supply chain management and kind of what we need to do to have so these are all the project management tools, the design, the plan, the execution, control, monitoring of all those supply chain activities are going to be part of that module. And so we know that those draw heavily from the areas of operations management, logistics, procurement, when you need to purchase materials and have them delivered in a very specific location at a very specific time. And those aim for an integrated approach to optimize the flow of goods and services, like we see here, for using the supply chain management module as part of the ERP. There are some examples here that I'm going to put in your, these are part of your resources, your extra video resources that are going to be good examples of supply chain management from Dell and from Walmart. All right, so again, we talked about the advantages of using that supply chain management system. It really is just going to help your organization gain as much efficiency as possible to improve productivity and profitability and good visualization of how you're doing in the area of supply chain. All right, so business process management. So if we go through the literature, we look at the papers that have been written about this topic, there's three alternatives to business process management. And you're going to see these in, I'm sure there are quiz questions that are asking you about those three alternatives to business process management. You can automatize, you can streamline, or you can engineer. And we're going to talk about those right now. So when we talk about automation, while automation can make a business more efficient, it cannot be used to create a competitive advantage. And the reason that is simply automating a process that's not a good process doesn't make it better. It just makes it automated. So we want to make sure that if you're trying to build efficiencies, sometimes the best organizations that are serious about improving their business processes need to create structures to manage those processes. And then we see here under automation that BPM, that business process management, can be thought of as an intentional effort to plan, to document, distribute the processes with IT. So it is working hand in hand with those IT departments that we were talking about earlier to automate your business processes. The next option is to streamline. So we can, if you don't want to do this, you can either automate or we can streamline. And that has a better impact on efficiency and productivity, but it can't warranty a competitive or sustainable advantage for the same reason. It's a good strategy for processes that are essential to the company, but again, it's not going to bring you the competitive advantage. So BPM is going to provide several key benefits to your organization, which is just a better plan than streamlining. And then our business process management empowers employees. It has built-in reporting. It enforces some of those best practices. And it really is going to enforce consistency when you go through and manage each one of those processes and take a look at what's working, what's not, what could be better, where are there inefficiencies that you could really tackle. It involves talking to your people on the ground who are actually part of the teams working with these processes and asking them, how's it going? What do you like about this? What are you always doing rework for? Tell me how your time could be better spent. And that's how you're really going to improve those processes. Talking about re-engineering. Excuse me. Organizations looking to manage their processes to gain a competitive advantage can also re-engineer. Which we're going to look at this study from Hammer out of 1990 and who famously said that companies should blow up their processes and not and just develop new ones rather than do this re-engineering approach. So do not optimize, obliterate is what is Hammer's famous quote, and we're going to come back to that and why that was recommended. So this BPR, this process re-engineering, is fully understanding the goals and processes and then dramatically redesigning them from the ground up. So there's dramatic improvements in productivity, in quality. You know, it's not just making little tweaks. It is a ground-up redesign that dramatically is going to change your results. So that's when we're talking about process re-engineering, that's what we're actually talking about. So how do we do that? How do we re-engineer a business process? And we're going to organize around outcomes, not around the tasks. So have those who use the outcomes of the process perform it, watch them, talk to them, and subsume information processing work into the real work that produces the information. We're going to treat geographically dispersed resources as though they were centralized. We're going to link parallel activities. Instead of integrating their results, we're going to link them and look for patterns. We're going to put the decision points where the work is performed and build controls into the process so that nothing is going to get overlooked. And then we're going to capture the information all at once at the source. So we're going to ask the people doing the processes all of these questions. And then once we have those parallels linked, we can look to see how is it improving? We can look at our KPIs, those key performance indicators, and make sure that we're making progress in the right direction. Here is an example, and this is we are almost wrapped up here. We're going to look at an example of re-engineering a college bookstore. So this is one of my first jobs when I was 18. I worked in my college bookstore, and this is there before what looked very much like our business processes as well. Well, if you go through their process flowchart here, we can see what the process was in the before, and we can answer these questions and go through the flowchart. And then you can see the redesigned process and how much cleaner it is and the efficiencies gained from just making some, I would say, simple changes. They're not simple changes. They were very necessary changes, just in the right places. And a lot of the steps are the same. You'll notice the order might be different, and some of those contingencies are different. So if you want to take a look at this flowchart, this is in your textbook as well, and just looking at what a true business process re-engineering looks like. Okay, you have made it through week 9 about business processes. To summarize, we have defined the term. We know what a business process is. We can identify the different systems needed to support those business processes in an organization. We know the value of an ERP system. If there's anything you're going to walk away from this course, hopefully you will know inside and out the benefits and the value of implementing a true ERP system, the enterprise resource planning. Hopefully you can explain how business process management and business process re-engineering work, how they're the same and how they're different and which one you would use. And then hopefully you would understand how information technology combined with business processes, so IT combined with business processes, can bring an organization a competitive advantage that they can't get on their own. You really do need the integration of both to have that competitive advantage. I have a note here for also that ISO 9000, just one of the processes that an organization can go through to certify that they've looked at their processes. So there are some formal ways that an organization can audit themselves. They can have an external entity. Here, I'm going to jump up here. There we go. Have an external entity come in, look at their processes, see if there are efficiencies to be gained. So that ISO 9000 is the current certification for just making sure that your business processes are where they need to be or actually at the very highest stellar levels. So if you are interested in this topic of process improvement and business processing, look into ISO and what that entails and if that is something that your organization should be really trying to achieve. So I appreciate you sticking with me here through week 9. Next week for week 10, we are going to be talking about systems development and what it takes to actually develop these information systems. So we're going to get a little technical again and talk about what goes on behind the curtain and how we can actually develop some of these ISs that we've been talking about. So I look forward to seeing you soon. Thanks.